Welcome to another edition of The News on Drinks Adventures. Coming up this week, Stone & Wood enters the burgeoning contemporary beer space, Victorian winery Sepult celebrates its 170th anniversary, Noosa Kanya Rum launches a Batavia Arak, and ambitious craft beer venue Urban House of Brews on track for 2022 launch in Sydney. Stone & Wood Brewing Company has entered the contemporary beer segment, taking on multinational-owned brands such as Great Northern and Iron Jack. The 3.5% Green Coast Lager is packaged in a clear bottle, and Stone & Wood General Manager Nick Boots says it caters for the huge demographic of Australian drinkers who are seeking simple refreshment.
We've unashamedly created an easy drinking beer that's not necessarily going to be the beer that craft beer aficionados, the lager they're going to go for, but it's more going to be the beer that perhaps the other 90% of the market are going to go for. So, you know, unashamedly, we think there's significant market here for us. And as I said, I think we can add some value into this space, which has traditionally been pretty much a two-horse race with the two big multinational guys.
What do you see as characterising this contemporary segment? What do you think it is that consumers are enjoying?
If you have a look at the shift away from those traditional mainstream beers, such as a VBE to his new 4X bitter, et cetera, you know, those drinkers have largely shifted into contemporary, you know, some into craft, but majority into contemporary. And I think what they're really liking is just the lower bitterness, you know, lower hops, and just very easy drinking, clean, crisp style. And we've always had the plan to extend Green Coast. We think it has legs beyond, you know, the role that it's traditionally played. Hence, you know, Green Coast with a Stone & Wood endorser logo as we see it now is a step, you know, away from the Stone & Wood family, but it's also connected. You'll see in our promotional work, even with our sponsorship with the Wallabies, etc., that yes, Green Coast is prominent, but Stone & Wood still exists. And I think we need that at the moment because, you know, awareness of Green Coast Lager still has some building to do. You know, for many years it's just been the green one from Stone & Wood.
Are you expecting you might cop a bitter stick from the more hardcore, crafty consumers?
Mate, there might be some, but I think what's really important for drinkers to understand, and I guess the trade, is that, you know, we've never pitched ourselves as a craft brewery. And I know that might sound strange, but, you know, you'll never find us referring to Stone & Wood as a craft brewer. Yes, some of our beers might be referred to as somewhat crafty in the fruit-driven profile, you know, of Pacific Ale, for example. For some people, it might fit into that definition, but we've always very much seen ourselves as a regional brewer, and we're a regional brewer based in regional New South Wales, and we've always just aspired to create simply good beers, and that doesn't mean they have to be simply good craft beers. They need to be beers that are relevant for everybody, whether they be in our backyard, you know, in and around Byron in the Northern Rivers, or across the whole country. That's always been our promise is, you know, good beer is our thing. It's written on the side of our brewery. And that, in our mind, that's never distinguished what type of beer or what style of beer. It's just as long as we're doing good beer, then we're going to have happy drinkers.
And I should disclose that if you weren't already aware, Stone & Wood has recently come on board as a sponsor of the Drinks Adventures podcast. Sepult Wines in Victoria's Great Western region is celebrating its 170th anniversary this year with a new winemaker at the helm. Claire Dry joined Sepult ahead of the 2021 vintage after 13 years at Wolf Blass in South Australia.
I've always really enjoyed making Pinot Noir and Chardonnay, and when I was working with Wolf Blass, I particularly concentrated on the Adelaide Hills. So it was a natural progression for me to sort of move across into cool climate winemaking. That's been really fun playing around this year with using some whole bunch techniques and looking at just pumping over ferments rather than plunging, just being a bit more judicious with the tannin extraction. I'm also a Victorian, so it's nice to be able to make some Victorian wine too.
And what was your remit when you joined? Was it simply just to continue what Adam Carnaby had been doing with the wines, or did you have license to get in there and change things up a bit?
Well, I think Adam obviously did an amazing job in his tenure as winemaker, and I think in particular he did a fantastic job pushing the boundary of those Shiraz and the Pinot Noirs as well, just really balanced, elegant wines that were really expressive of the Grampians. And I think he probably perhaps modernised the wines a little, using more whole bunch and just dialing back the new oak influence. So I really admire the way he was making those reds, planning to put my own little stamp on it. But I guess when you first walk into a job, you don't want to be too gung-ho. You need to really learn the vineyards and the blocks and what works best for those blocks. So, yeah, just feeling my way into that. I have spent the last few years at Wolf Blass really specialising in white wines, so I'm really keen to change the direction of the Chardonnay a little.
The hero of the newly released Sepult Luxury Collection is the spectacular 2019 Arrowhatta Hill Limited Release Shiraz.
It's a one-off, and it's the first time we released it to celebrate the anniversary, 170th anniversary of Sepult. Adam put that together in 2019, and it's from the same area of vineyard as Great Western. It's from the Arrowhatta Hill, which is a certain block on that Great Western vineyard, which is north-facing and sort of gently sloping, and it does have that really great free-draining soil. The St. Peter's Shiraz itself in the 2019 is also fully sourced from that vineyard but from different blocks. So the Arrowhatta Hill is really focusing on this particular block in the Great Western vineyard, and in contrast to the St. Peter's, it's been made using 100% partial whole bunch fermentation. The wine itself has got a bit more of an open weave. The aromatics on it are quite flinty but really beautiful aromatic blackberry characters. I mean, if you drink them side by side, the St. Peter's and the Arrowhatta Hill, it's a really good overview of the Grampian style, but also of what partial whole bunch fermentation can do to a wine. Would have used a little bit more plunging in the St. Peter's Shiraz, whereas the Arrowhatta Hill was just pumping over. Which that'll definitely determine how much tannin you're extracting during your ferment. And the St. Peter's, it's probably, the core of it's probably darker and inkier, and, yeah, the tannin structure is reflecting the fact that the skins were worked a little bit more during ferment.
The collection also includes Dry's first wine made for Sepult, the 2021 Drumborg Riesling.
Drumborg's had an amazing year. It was a La Nina year this year, so generally that means, you know, a bit dicey with too much rain or wet conditions, which we did see a little over central Victoria this year. But Drumborg, in contrast, the La Nina conditions actually meant that we didn't have that really strong southwesterly wind coming off the coast there. So it was really well protected, and we only had one major rain event during harvest, which is pretty unusual, I gather, from Drumborg. Larry Sadler, who's our vineyard manager down there, has been there for over 25 years, and he confirmed that it was one of the really good vintages from Drumborg. So the Riesling's out. We've got the Pinot Noir and the Pinot Meunier in barrel maturing, and we're about to release the Gruner Veltliner too.
Noosa Cunha Rum has revealed its latest expression, Godfather, which continues the company's mission of bringing back the forgotten story of Indonesian rum. Noosa Cunha co-founder Sam Jevons says Godfather is a pure expression of Batavia Arak, which was the most highly sought after sugarcane spirit in the world up until the 19th century.
We found this beautiful story of Indonesian rum, how it was an amazing spirit, amazingly uniquely produced, but then how it died away and how nobody knows about it. And overlap that with the difficulty of the Indonesian government having huge religious sensibilities and now being Muslim-based government for the last 100 plus years, alcohol just doesn't resonate with that country. Yet it had this brilliant story, this brilliant history, this brilliant pedigree sort of locked inside Indonesia's heritage. So we set about, as lovers of Indonesia, as people of Asia wanting to sort of champion Asian spirits, we set about bringing this story back to life.
Jevons describes Godfather as a prequel to the existing products in Noosa Cunha's range: Tropical Island Rum and Spiced Island Rum.
The first two products are a blend, okay? So Batavian Arak And then we just subtly blend that with Caribbean rum that is 3 years old. And we did this for two or three reasons. One was to make it versatile, to make it approachable, to make it familiar to a lot of the bartenders. So Batavian Arrack as a spirit on its own, as the Godfather will attest, is a very agricole style flavor, quite punchy, quite grassy, lots of overtures of spirit and spice and grass and floral notes. Now, that to me is a beautiful spirit, but to the mass and to the wide consumers, that isn't exactly what they need in their house daiquiris, house mojitos, and house cocktails that they're providing.
Jevons says Batavia Arrack was one of the first spirits to be aged in wood and has been described by spirits historian and author Dave Wondrich as the world's first international luxury spirit.
The three main things that made Batavian Arrack popular were the fermentation method, distillation method, and aging, all of which were unique and new at the time. So if we just take fermentation, Batavia Arrack is unique and still unique today because in the fermentation, it uses red rice as a fermentation kickstarter. So the molasses with the red rice then gets pushed through into the distillation process. So they used a steel still, which is still in use today. So no copper still, no column still. It was all just very rustic. I sort of equate on a very sort of easy level the production method of Batavian Arrack to, say, mezcal in tequila. A little bit more old, a little bit more village-based, a little bit more rustic and authentic. All Batavian Arrack is unique in that it's aged in teak rather than oak. Oak doesn't grow in Indonesia, teak does. So when products like Indonesian rum or Batavian Arrack, or any Arrack, in fact, were being produced, they were largely being produced and then rested in teak. That teak would then be shipped back to Europe. So what you're getting in those very early days is the flavors and the essences of tropical aging in a ship, in a barrel, made with teak.
Nusa Kenya's Godfather is named for Batavia Arrack's heritage as the godfather of rum. Just 1,000 bottles are available internationally, with stock arriving in Australia from October.
I hope the Godfather will give all of the people who I've trained, especially in mature markets in Australia, people will say, you know, I talk them through the brand, talk them through the history, give them a tasting. And they were like, this is great. This is really, really good. But I'd be really interested to know, what does the heart of your spirit taste like before it's blended? So the Godfather is our way of sort of saying, well, here it is, guys.
Five breweries, including Tasmania's Moo Brew, will anchor a 650 capacity craft beer venue proposed for Newtown in Sydney's Inner West. Last week on the Drinks Adventures podcast, I asked Moo Brew General Manager Lauren Shepherd how confident she is about the ambitious project coming to fruition.
Oh, I'm very confident now. To be honest, I would definitely describe myself as more conservative when it comes to business in general. And we've already overcome most of the significant hurdles. I'm very confident that it's going to go ahead. And it's just going to be so refreshing to be able to confidently say to people, not just you might get a beer on tap at this pub, but you'll get every beer we make anytime you want it at Urban House.
How far off is that likely to be then?
Well, COVID probably puts a little bit of a question mark over that. I imagine it'll be sometime in 2022 calendar year. It is that vague at the moment, but I would hope it would be in the first half of next year, but it's probably more likely the second half of next year.
That's all for this week. I'll be back with you again on Tuesday with another full-length episode.